our time. Each day of the week, the Mutual Broadcasting System presents distinguished representatives of spiritual thought in America, who, in their talks, may help you solve your own moral and spiritual problems in our relationships with one another and with God. So won't you join us and have faith in our time. As the calendar months pass us by, we often find it necessary to make a concerted effort to keep our enthusiasm for life alive. Rekindling your enthusiasm is the subject of today's talk by Dr. J. Richard Sneed. Dr. Sneed speaks to us from our Los Angeles studios.
Hello, everybody. Have you ever had polio or spent 3 years in an iron lung? Well, if you have, you know what it means to lie still and to see life through a mirror. Louis Abercrombie of St. Louis could tell you, for after those long months in a respirator, he still maintains his enthusiasm for living. If a man can do that on his back, encased up to his chin, surely we who are up and about have little cause for complaint. Let me give you the secret of rekindling your enthusiasm without delay. Keep the faculty of effort alive. Become a reliant personality. Try always to excel yourself. To get on with this enlivening process, no one of these things is really difficult, but it is in the doing of them, yes, all of them, that there comes great reward. Are you experiencing the pulls of living which takes life forward? In speaking of enthusiasm, we do not mean the outer fantastic excitement which often accompanies living. No, our need is for the recovery of a serious, inward, self-controlled purpose. The sense of this word among the Greeks affords a noble definition for us, where enthusiasm signifies God in us. Today, the quest of our search is for that type of morale which Jesus advocated when he declared, "The kingdom of God is within you." Keep your faculty of effort alive. That, first of all. Professor William James of Harvard always gave action a high priority. This great psychologist recommended the doing of a little gratuitous effort each day. Then he added, be systematically ascetic in the little unnecessary points. Martin Luther kept his reformers' enthusiasm alive by this very process. One day when he was at work in his study, he thought he saw the devil in his room. Quick as a flash, he hurled an ink bottle in the direction of the supposed monster. Mrs. Luther came running in, and one wonders what she said when she saw where it hit the wall and broke, inking everything in sight. But Luther's determined, applied faculty of effort had a real way of accomplishment. If you have ever read Bess Streeter Aldrich's book, A Lantern in Her Hand, you know something of the wisdom of this author. She lives in Elmwood, Nebraska, where, with some University of Nebraska students, I visited her one day at her home. During the course of the conversation, one of the students asked Mrs. Aldrich this question. Do you wait to write until you are inspired? Her answer was instantaneous, as she indicated that she worked rigidly on schedule, going to her study at 8 every morning. She explained that inspiration follows effort, and that one becomes inspired when he is engaged in his work. Such is the inner secret of enthusiasm. Such is the resultant expectation of the God within us. Another way to rekindle your resourcefulness is to become a reliant personality. You are endowed by your Creator to be a real person. Therefore, be one. Do not admit those inferiorities which beset life. Welcome the affirmatives. Invite the restorative powers to abide within you. John Burroughs, the naturalist, was one of our beloved California citizens. He was, of all men, the most reliant. His enthusiasm was contagious. At 74, he outdistanced his younger friends climbing some of our high mountains. When he was over 80, he kept producing material for books. His inner resourcefulness was indomitable. Some New York school children wrote asking his secret of living. He answered them by saying, as the years pass, my interest in this huge globe deepens. Mountain streams are young streams. They sing and sparkle as they go, and our lives are the same. This great naturalist was always cooperating with God and with nature. It was a part of his personality reliance. He attained perpetual youth in old age by living a simple life, by eating simple food, and by adding sound sleep, open air, daily work, kind thoughts, and love of nature. He engaged in no excesses, no alcoholic drinks, no stimulants stronger than water and food. Upon the occasion of Burroughs' birthday, he said this, I am 80 years old today, and if I could have my way, I would like to live every one of those over again. Doesn't that sound to you like the abundant life, the life which Jesus declared to be the life indeed? Enthusiasm is also rekindled another way. That is by your daily attempt to excel yourself. Your age is not the most important thing. It is your goal. Keep before you an open door, a new objective. Robert Browning queried, ah, but a man's reach should exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for? Yes, or what is earth for? You remember Chicago received Homer St. Gaudens, the sculptor, one day upon the occasion of the unveiling of one of his statues. An eager reporter found the artist and said, I suppose, Mr. St. Gaudens, you consider this your masterpiece. Without hesitation, the sculptor replied, indeed I do not. My next statue is always my masterpiece. Well, looking forward to your next venture always gives your life a pulling power. Try it today and share its recreating enthusiasm. It may remake your career. Yes, in fact, it may even start you on a new one. Charles Eliot, Harvard's distinguished president, cast an influence which made him appear to become younger while he actually was growing older. Yes, decades older. When he first assumed the presidency at the age of 35, the students watching him walk the campus would say, "There goes old Eliot." 40 years later, a new generation of students saw him stroll the Harvard campus so spryly that they said one to another, "There goes Charlie." My friend, whether you are in an iron lung or whether you are out, keep your faculty of effort alive. Become a reliant personality. And with each new day, try to excel yourself. Thus, you will have faith in our time. Yes, faith in God's time.
Thank you, Dr. Sneed. We return you now to New York.
Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always, only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee, filled with messages from Thee. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for Thee, ever only all for Thee.
Speaker today was Dr. J. Richard Sneed, whose first talk in this series was entitled Rekindling Your Enthusiasm. If you would like a copy of his talk, just send your request to the Protestant Radio Commission, 297 4th Avenue, New York 10, New York. That address again, the Protestant Radio Commission, 297 4th Avenue, New York 10, New York. Faith in Our Time is heard regularly at the same time. Today's program was presented by the Mutual Network in cooperation with the Federal Council of the Churches of Christ in America and City, County, and State Councils of Churches throughout the nation. Harvey Harding was soloist and musical director. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.